So the epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so also you would walk that you may abound the more. For you know what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all of these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 17. At that time Jesus taken unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And the disciples hearing fell upon their face, and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Please be seated. How great is your faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We've come to the second Sunday of Lent. As I mentioned in some years past, the Church gives to us an encouragement during this time to look to our reward, which is heaven, symbolized by our Lord's transfiguration. And then also we consider in the Gospel of today's Mass of how Saints Peter, James, and John, they were witness to the transfiguration as a preparation for them. A preparation that they would have to then watch our Lord suffer his agony and his passion. And so therefore our Lord tried to strengthen them by giving them this vision, helping them to see him in all his glory. But then from that, well, yes, that our Lord would also have to suffer. So he tried to strengthen them. He tried to help them as a preparation for what he would undergo. And I would say, I think for us, it's also an important time for us as preparation too for the great feast of Easter. That's why we spend these 46 days in prayer and sacrifice. That we try to prepare ourselves for this great feast. And in some ways also, it's meant to strengthen our faith. We spend this time trying to understand more about what our Lord suffered for us, have a greater appreciation for that. And that by our meditations, by our readings, our spiritual reading, that we see what our Lord suffered in his agony and how our sins caused all of that. I mean, one we see in the epistle also, the exhortation from St. Paul reminding us that we are called to sanctification. It is the will of God. It is the means that God has for us. And so, yes, it's a good reminder for us to meditate upon these things. But I would say also then to try to consider for our faith the strengthening that this time period must be for it. During this past week, the Church gave us two examples of great faith and the rewarding that our Lord gave to that. If you had a chance to come to some of the Masses during this week, you might have read them, or an encouragement during the time period of Lent, even if we can't come down to attend Mass, at least try to read through the liturgy, maybe even just read through the Epistle and the Gospel. Because as I mentioned to you before, that the time period of Lent every day has a special Mass associated just with it. And so it's good to try to see what is the mind of the Church, what is the reminder to us of what we should be thinking about, what we should be meditating upon, in trying to help us to prepare even better for this time period. In the hopes that, yes, we will be ready for the resurrection of our Lord. And so as I mentioned this past week of the importance of the faith, on Thursday in the readings, we had the woman of Canaan. And it even says in sacred scripture that she was part of an accursed race. And so she asked our Lord to have mercy on her because her daughter was troubled by the devil. And it's interesting to see how our Lord treats these requests. First, he tells her that he was only sent for the sheep of Israel. And so she continues to ask for mercy, and it's even interesting to see how the apostles say, get rid of this woman. She keeps bugging us, meaning she keeps asking our Lord for the help. And so for them, it's easy enough. It's like, well, just get rid of her then. And so our Lord continues to dialogue with her. And so he says to her, it is not good to take bread of the children and cast it to the dogs. I mean, at that point, then you see how this poor woman may have felt by this answer to him, from our Lord to her, that he's saying that again, I've come to take care of the proper children, the children of Israel. And why should I take bread from them and cast it, in a sense, to the dogs, meaning that her race, this being a cursed race, the Canaanites, and so from that, she still answers back to our Lord with a show of true faith. And you can see how our Lord's his questioning to her, his things that he says to her, is a means of trial. Does she have a true faith? Is she willing to ask these things from our Lord, and is it because that she truly believes in him? And so that's where then she answers back, yes, Lord. She says that the whelps also eat of the crumbs that fall from the table. So she acknowledges the fact of being a whelp, a small dog, that she too would eat even from the crumbs of the table. Illustrating this strong faith that she has, that she knows that our Lord will help her. And that is the thing that we see, the petition that she makes to our Lord. He tries her by his questions to her. And she comes back all the more so with a strong faith. And you see how much that this woman wants and beseeches our Lord to help her. Even if she was not of, you know, the children of Israel. Yet she shows how much she wants this help from God. In another example, then on Friday, our Lord cures the paralytic man at Bethsaida. And it's interesting to note with this man, he has had this illness for 38 years. And yet he goes down every year to the pool of Bethsaida and tries to go in to wash himself. And he mentions to our Lord how he has no one to help him. And he said, other people go in. They receive the blessings of it. They receive the cures because he has no one to help him because he's paralyzed. And so he asks our Lord, you know, basically, will you cure me? And so that is the famous where our Lord says to him, arise, take up thy bed. He says, you are made whole. He's made whole again because of his strong faith. And so as I say, you know, looking at the gospel account of how for the apostles, the three that would go with our Lord for the transfiguration, the three that would also go with our Lord to the agony, the transfiguration was meant to strengthen them in their faith, so then when our Lord suffers his passion, they are truly behind him. But we see how that turns out. When our Lord suffers his passion, when he's taken away, they flee. I mean, granted, we see St. Peter following from a distance, but yet we also see with St. Peter his denial of our Lord. So his faith wasn't strengthened at that time. And that is what our Lord tried to do for them, strengthening and helping them for what would take place later on. Even though our Lord prophesied it, even though our Lord told them he would suffer these things, again, yet for them, they did not believe. They did not have that strong faith in that. And so that is something that our Lord, with these two examples of the strong faith, he gives them their wish because of their strong faith. And I think, again, that's a lesson for us, especially during this time period, of how much of a strong faith we must have, of how much that it is needed for us in our prayer life, in the way that we live our lives. Do we show our faith? Do we show it by our actions too? We can show our faith by our prayer life, by praying to God, coming to Mass, but do we show it outwardly to other people? Is our faith one that is so strong that people recognize it, people understand it? I mean, I think that's something that is a very good thing to think about during these 46 days. How strong is our faith? But also even just from the fact of our prayer life too. Do we have a strong faith in what we pray for? You know, going back to the understanding, what is faith? Faith is the belief in things unseen. I mean, do we truly believe that? I mean, one, do we truly believe that our Lord is sacramentally present? We can say we do. Do we show that? Do we illustrate that by when we come into the church and we recognize this is God's place? This is God's house. That truly our genuflections we give to the tabernacle. That we keep in sense the whole understanding of how sacred this place is. Going back to sacred scripture, how awe-inspiring for us. You look at the Latin terribilis est, how terrible it is, how awe-inspiring that it must be for us. Do we recognize that when we come in? And then as we pray, we are praying to God. Do we recognize that fact that God is there for us? And so that is where then for us a good reflection in time in this time period of Lent is our faith. How strong of a faith do we have? And so that's some of the things that we can look at in terms of what are the qualities of a true faith. I mean, one, that it must be something that is living, not a dead faith. Just we talk about dead languages or different things. Is it living for us? And all that means to us is, does it produce the fruit of good works? Faith without works is dead, says sacred scripture, very clearly to us, helping us to understand. What does our faith mean to us? Will it be illustrated in the works that we do that other people can see? Or is it dead? Is it stagnant that it means nothing to us? And so that is what is very important for us. Do we have these good works? Do we show that toward other people? And so, yes, living faith is one of the qualities that we must have. And by having a living faith, it will be united to charity and hope, the other two theological virtues, giving them life. And again, for us, we must reflect upon these things. We must consider these things in our own lives. How strong of a faith do we have? And so a penetrating faith, another quality that we can have, penetrating in terms of practicing all that is necessary to bring us closer to God. So again, it ties in with the very first. Do we produce the good works? And so for this, a penetrating faith, yes, are we practicing what is necessary to bring us closer to God? A good reflection during Lent. You know, this time period is meant to bring us closer to God. Because through our prayers, through our readings, through our sacrifices, I mentioned to you before, the whole idea of the penances and sacrifices we take on is to try to break away the obstructions, the obstacles to God's grace flowing into our soul. And so, yes, this time period is meant to bring us closer to God. One also just recognizing and seeing what has God done for us. He died on the cross in order to redeem us again. And so therefore, we must try to live our lives also pleasing to God. A third quality of our faith needs to be that it is attentive. That is something that's in praying the breviary that is always reminded to us. Do we have the proper attention? Do we have the proper devotion in praying our breviary? Laying down in our bed probably wouldn't be the best way to pray the breviary. You probably won't have the proper attention or even the devotion to that. That is why for a priest, the encouragement is to try to pray his breviary in front of the Blessed Sacrament. By praying his entire breviary in front of the Blessed Sacrament, he can gain indulgences for that day. So the encouragement for the church gives to her priest and her religious is to pray it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Not always will you have that chance. But it's to help us with the attention, the devotion that we need in our prayer life. And so the same thing can be said of our faith. Do we have the proper attention to our faith? And I think this can also be something that we reflect upon. Do we have a great conviction in our faith? Why or why not? Are we able to explain to people why we don't eat meat on Friday? You know, can we give them that conviction of why? Of why that it is so important? And obviously, traditionally speaking, I mean, obviously it was a mortal sin if you ate meat knowingly on a Friday. I mean, a mortal sin because of our Lord died on Good Friday. How easy it is nowadays, we just kind of pass it over and it's like, yeah, well, if I think of it, I will. I mean, do we have that conviction of understanding why the church, in a sense, demands that from us? It is to recognize what our Lord did for us by dying on the cross. And so, yes, do we have the proper convictions of our faith? Can we explain our faith to other people? Or when they ask us a question, it's kind of like, I don't know why we do that. I mean, do we show our faith to other people around us? But it's also something for us, attentive faith. This is also, we can reflect upon why do sometimes conferences, recollections, sermons, spiritual reading produce nothing in us. Because we don't have that attention to the faith that we should. You know, and that's why I encourage you then, even if you're not able to attend daily Mass during Lent or frequently during the week, read the Missal. Read through what the church is giving to us to think about and to contemplate and to consider during this time period. As I mentioned too, that can also be something that you can try to do more of during this time period. Okay, attend one more Mass during the week. Make that an option for yourself. Granted, you may work. We do have 5:30 a.m. Masses. Try to compensate for that. Yes, it may be a little early to roll out of bed. But what a way to start our day. And so therefore, I mean, try to consider the things, or as I mentioned to you, attend benediction, stations of the cross. I mean, these are things that are meant to try to help us to consider this time period and bring us closer to God. Like I say, do we have that proper attention? Do we have the attention to the epistle and the gospel of each Mass, or especially the Sunday Masses? Do we listen to the sermons? I wonder how many people actually heard that. How attentive are you? But also, do you do spiritual reading? Do you try to do these things to help you in especially this time period? And so, yes, it's another quality of our faith. Do we have the conviction to our faith to be attentive, to listen? And so that's why then, by having these qualities of our faith, through these qualities, it will lead and help us in our prayer life. I mean, as I say, these two examples that we have, I mean, here you have the paralytic man for 38 years suffered this, and he kept going down year after year. Or you have this woman, wasn't even of the children of Israel, and all she asked for is petition to our Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. Help my daughter who is being bothered or troubled by the devil. And in both examples, because of their faith, her daughter was cured and the paralytic was cured. Because of their faith, they were made whole. But you can also see in their intention, in their prayers, it showed that deep faith that they had. And if we have a quality faith, if it's something that we have these qualities that I mentioned to you, it will come out in your prayer life. You will have the confidence in prayer. Just as the woman says, Lord, have pity on me. She knew what she was asking for. She knew she was beseeching our Lord to help her daughter. The confidence that she showed. The perseverance in prayer we will also have, again, looking at the example of this woman. The apostles tried to get rid of her right off the bat. It's like, she's just bothering us. Just push her away. She persevered through that. She kept crying out after our Lord. The perseverance that we have in prayer, how necessary that is for us. Perseverance in our duties too. Again, something to reflect upon during this time period of Lent. And then finally, also in our prayer life, through the example of this woman, we see the patience and humility. The patience by answering the questions that our Lord had for her. And the humility by understanding who she was asking our Lord. That she was this whelp. This small dog trying to take the crumbs that came from the table. That's all she was asking for. Is just to help her daughter. And so that patience, that humility that she had, what an example it is for us. She wasn't even of the children of Israel. And yet she had this great example. Reminds you of the centurion too, that our Lord said, such great faith I haven't found in all of Israel. These examples that our Lord gives to us of people that, quote unquote, should not even be asking our Lord for these things. In some ways, it can be a small rebuke to every single one of us. Do we have that faith? Do we have that confidence to ask our Lord that? So it's something to reflect upon and to pray about. As I say, we can make that parallel with the three apostles that were brought by our Lord to witness his transfiguration, to strengthen them in their faith, that they wouldn't deny our Lord like St. Peter did. What an example that is to us. Here you have someone who was with our Lord for 3 years, saw the miracles, heard all the parables. When times got tough, he denied our Lord. Obviously, St. Peter would go on to prove his faith and his trust in God by dying on the cross, upside down because he wasn't worthy to die like our Lord. So he proved it by being a martyr for his faith. But he went through a weak time. Again, what an example to us of how we need to strengthen our faith, and this is a perfect time period to do so. Make that one of your intentions each day of Lent, to increase your faith in God, your trust in Almighty God, so that our Lord will also say to us, "Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more." In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.